Welcome to Sunday Sermons and other recordings from the Unitarian Universalist Church of Davis, California. Please visit our website at www.uudavis.org for further information.
So on the second Sunday of October, we have focused on the non-white populations who settled in California. I will just say that the first time Mandy Dawn saw the title of this service, she wondered, she thought, Beth needs some help, and it had the word Columbus crossed out, and she thought, that just can't be right. So she took out that cross out, and I was like, mm-mm, it's the non-Columbus day. So this is the day in our year when we really do look at the people who settled in California around the time of statehood that often don't get in the history books.
We gather to draw a wider circle, adapted by Reverend Gretchen Haley. In a world that feeds on moral outrage, we are here to cultivate courage. In a time that prizes picking sides, we gather to draw a wider circle. In a culture that teaches us to ask, "What's in it for me?" we come to practice generosity and to remember, we are all in this together. In the midst of life's challenges, we choose to sing, to give thanks, to laugh together, and be keepers of beauty. Let us offer a place of belonging for all who come. May we feel a part of something greater than ourselves for this hour, and let us be the change we wish to see. Come, let us worship together.
If this is your first time or one of your first times to come and you'd like to get to know us better, please do stop at the welcome table that is by the entrance of the social hall. And if you have a joy or a sorrow to share, we invite you to enter that in the milestone book back there where all the little chalices are lit. And let us know if this is something that you would like to have pastoral care for, and one of our ministers will get in touch with you or someone from our caring council.
To acknowledge all that is being held by the people in this room, we light one pillar candle for the sorrows of the world, for the moments that weigh heavy on our hearts. We light one pillar candle for the joys of the world, for the moments of hope and celebration. Today, we have the interesting dilemma of celebrating the beauty that came from Northern European culture while also recognizing that this same culture assumed supremacy and oppressed other cultures. May this complexity be fuel for our journey to learn deeper levels of openness and authentic humility on the path to a true and meaningful connection. Let us center through music. Would Lily Roberts come down to light the chalice this morning? In speaking with Lily this morning, she finds a place of belonging here in this church. And my hope is that today will give a greater sense of this church and the lands on which this place belongs. The chalice is the symbol of Unitarian Universalism. And today we have words in gatherings adapted by Reverend Marta Valentin. Thank you, Lily. In gratitude, we celebrate with open hearts and minds. We discover who we are, separate from each other and within one another. In this circle that holds all life, may we ever work toward widening its boundaries until there are none. As we begin the message for all ages, I would like to have about 10 volunteers to come down to help us out to discuss a bit of the history of this place of California. Today we're going to be speaking about some dates, so please, especially the youth within the congregation, we need at least 5 to 10 anyone?
And time is of the essence here, so please don't hesitate. Come on up. Thank you. People of all ages are welcome, but especially those who are shorter than my shoulders.
Thank you.
Or taller. Whatever.
And so if you, Karina, if you will hold this end, and Brad, will you take this and walk behind the pulpit just as we get to the dates? If you're standing in here in a line, I'm going to hand you a paperclip, a clothespin, and we're going to talk about some key dates in the history of these lands in California. Starting here on this timeline, if you'd like to do the first one, this first paperclip of blue tape represents 10 years. So anyone under 10 years of age is in this paperclip here.
And is there anybody here who is under 10 years of age?
Maybe.
One. Okay. We got some up here, got some back there. Okay. All right. Good job.
And something also of significance is that UC Davis has just commemorated a recognition of these lands, of Patwin lands, and this past month have acknowledged a new commemorative Native American garden. Those conversations started 20 years ago, and this second blue tape right here, could you put your clip right there? Recognizes that 20 years of those conversations to be able to commemorate those gardens this year. Now, in the 1980s, the Yocha Dihi Wintun Nation of one of the Patwin tribes were returned their tribal land. So the next person in line, if you could include on this blue piece of tape. And the next one is California statehood. What we're going to start seeing is how close all of what we learn about in history. Next person in line, California statehood was in 1850.
Oh, my goodness. All those
so in the less than the span of my hand is statehood on forward. We're going to keep adding. The next person in the line can show when Christopher Columbus, 1492. Thank you. And now, Brad, thank you. We're going to start walking backwards. Each of these blue tapes represents 1,000 years. So this is 2,000 years. This is 3,000 years. So between these two, if you can see down there, between 2,000 and 3,000 years, at 2,000 years, this Tule decoy duck right here in front of us is a replica found about 70 miles from Davis. And then this next one, thank you so much, about 3,000 years ago was when the petroglyphs were found in Chausse Indian Grinding Rock, 70 miles from Davis. And now we're going to keep going further. For some context, at 5,000 right here, that's when the Sphinx of Giza was built. And then we're going to go all the way to the end. Let's see, actually we can say at 10,000 was where the mammoths mostly died out. And then close to 15,000 years ago is some of the oldest archaeological remains of petroglyphs, which are rock carvings. You're doing wonderful, Brad. Thank you very much for watching your step as you go. Because the message here it is, this blue tape, about 170 miles from Davis. Here you go, Brad. Petroglyphs were found, which are rock carvings and dated. And really, this rope would go on because the peoples of California that lived here before colonial arrival went back even beyond the 15,000 years. And we hope that as the children today and all of us think about these lands and we walk among the trees, the oak trees, we imagine what would it be like without buildings and without concrete, and what did the world look like before the last 500 years?
And before we walk away from this rope, I just wanted to remind us all of how long it has taken the Mondavi and UC Davis to have those conversations about recognizing the Patwin people. And also, you might notice, if you have the opportunity to go to Mondavi, they now introduce their all their events, recognizing with specific language, recognizing the land. And that happened because they were in conversation with the Patwin people. And we are in the process of beginning that conversation here. So you will not hear us say those words until we have permission from the Patwin people and know the language that they would like us to use. So that is our process, and we wanted you to know that we are doing it now. So it feels very good.
Yes.
And so.
Thank you.
Children's blessing. The children are invited to hold it slowly. Go to their groups. So Jackie is going to be doing her reflection. And we decided that I would do this reading because it's really research-based. And I didn't want her to need to conflate the two in her presentation. This is information that came to you in 2012, multiple times in the congregation, so much so that there were requests that we not talk about it anymore. And then Alex Hayter-Winnett, who is here with us this morning, is doing our campus ministry. He reintroduced it during his tenure here as our intern. So please hear this and know that it does set the tone for the service. It was a very challenging service to research personally, and I know that I lay this at your feet as a heavy message. In 1493, a papal law was declared by the Spanish Pope Alexander VI called the Doctrine of Discovery. The document supported Spain in having exclusive rights to the lands discovered by Columbus in 1492. And it was their effort to make sure they had the claim. The law said that any land that was not inhabited by Christians was available to be discovered and claimed by Christian rulers. Christianity would and should be spread. The health of souls shall be cared for, and the barbarous nations shall be overthrown and brought to Christianity, is a direct quote. Other European countries also used the doctrine of discovery. They quickly started using it as the foundation for claims on the Americas and the land. They used it on other continents, too. We were not special. This doctrine was adopted by the United States in its western expansion from Plymouth, Massachusetts to the West Coast. Thomas Jefferson claimed that the doctrine of discovery used by European states was international law that could be used by the new emerging United States government. European and Euro-American discoverers gained real property rights in the lands of the indigenous peoples by simply planting a flag. The U.S. court ruled that indigenous rights to complete sovereignty as independent nations were necessarily diminished. Native nations were considered domestic, dependent nations. The treatment of indigenous people across this continent by our government and by the American settlers was the result. So everything you hear about today is the result of this doctrine. Within our own country, it was often called manifest destiny. The UUA is among several religious organizations that disassociated itself in 2012 from the doctrine of discovery. Our resolution against the doctrine is singled out as a powerful and excellent model in the final chapter of An Indigenous People's History by Roxanne Dunbar Ortiz. And it is recommended to all who read the book. Our statement names the doctrine of discovery as a relic of colonialism, feudalism, and religious, cultural, and racial biases that has no place in the modern-day treatment of indigenous peoples. And in the process, we committed ourselves to exposing the historical reality and consequences and to invite indigenous partners into a process of honor and healing, often called truth and reconciliation. That is the work of our denomination, and it is the reason for this service.
In the Book of Stories, Our Stories Remember by Joseph Bruschock, he tells how Lance Henson, beloved Native American writer and poet, said to him, "One of my elders once asked me what you should do with a cup of water that is not good to drink. He held up his hand as it holding that cup, and then tipped it over, pouring it out, saying, "That's the Cheyenne way." Last month, I, laying on a pine needle-covered floor, gazing at the radiant stars and the blue-black night sky, was humbled to be allowed to sleep at an ancient and sacred place. I was sleeping in one of seven umacha, wood bark houses, in the northern Sierra Miwok replica village. In the other six umacha slept my son and his fourth grade class at Chase Indian Grinding Rock, California State Historic Park. The following morning, near the massive 300-year-old oak tree, the park ranger gave us a guided tour of over 350 petroglyphs, the rock carvings believed to be 2 to 3,000 years old. And these petroglyphs were carved in limestone covered by chasse or mortar cups. These were once used for grinding acorns. To capture the idea of how many ancestral people used this site, the docent shared that each of the 1,185 chasse mortar cups were unique to each family, never shared because they were sacred. Later, a juxtaposition came about. The tour guide, who was non-native, was pausing her presentation of traditional tools and cultural significance to ask a Miwok employee to validate answers. The Miwok woman clearly had more knowledge, and yet she was not the presenter. Following the tour, I wanted to learn more about the lands 70 miles west of where we were, at a place called Davis. And breaking standard protocol, not asking the tour guide, I approached the Miwok employee and asked her what did she know of tribal use of these lands? What had the elders taught her? And this was the start of one of multiple ongoing, complicated conversations about people and place. While we spoke, something compelled me to share my personal story of Native heritage in a humble, raw, and authentic way. I confessed my discomfort that I don't have documentation, did not grow up with traditional ways, have a mixed background, but I also have a mother who was adopted and a family who does not like to share a lot of its stories. And her kindness, her compassion was so healing. Communication went far beyond words, and she said that so many people have lost their connection, that my story is shared with many, and at that moment, something poured out of my cup. The next day, she honored the class with a presentation, a traditional children's song that she sang and told us the history. This was a presentation that she and I informally arranged and the teacher approved. And before the presentation, she approached me, bringing the first ceremonial Miwok clacker stick. It's about this long. And she stated that tradition states that it must be given as a gift, and she had chosen me. I felt years of self-doubt just pour out of that cup and felt it refilled with true connection and a renewed commitment to support acts of reconciliation and reparation. And it filled me with an awareness that my raw, humble, authentic, personal humility is my path forward to approach these complex and sacred conversations.
There are so many stories of people traveling across this continent and their interactions being terribly misunderstood. But thanks to the perseverance of the indigenous people across this nation, including this state of California, there is this new recognition of the wrongs that have been committed in those likely and unlikely places. And I have pages of rituals of forgiveness and reconciliation. And indeed, Jackie just mentioned, just by being here and hearing these stories, you are participating in some of that process of forgiveness and reconciliation by learning. Our own denomination's public apology was in, at least one of them was in 2009, for four ministers in the 1870s who worked to, and this is their language, save the Indians from trickery, robbery, intemperance, and other vices. And I thought, is it the Indians who have those issues, or is it the Christian ministers? To save the Indians from trickery, robbery, intemperance, and other vices, and present them with Christian civilization. Oh, they tried to convince the Ute people to become farmers, but they had no interest in being farmers. And so the Unitarian ministers, it is said, failed miserably or happily. And our denomination, at one of our general assemblies, the president of our denomination made a public apology. Recently, there has been the apology from Governor Newsom for the state's wrongdoings through history, the establishment of a Truth and Healing Council to clarify the record, to provide for the First Nations people to provide their own historical record. And in his apology, he commended the California Native Americans for persisting, for carrying on cultural and linguistic traditions. And now we hear about the conversations between the leadership of UC Davis and Mondavi and the Patwin people. When I asked Herb Garman, who can you direct me to about this? He said, me. So Herb Garman is a part of those conversations. And Judy and Eldridge Moores were a part of picking a stone, a commemorative stone that is a part of the garden that they're doing in front of Mondavi. So people in our congregation, without our knowing it, are a part of these conversations. We too are on Patwin land, and how we recognize that in the future, well, we need to be in conversation with the people to know the language we will use. But it will come in time. Jackie offered a reading for us to consider, her quote, and I'm going to expand on it a little bit. In response to what you would do with a cup of water that isn't good to drink, and her quote said to pour it out, which is the Cheyenne way, she said. So author Joseph Brucat talked about guilt as a part of that expanded article. He said a lot of Americans feel guilt about what their ancestors did to the American Indians. Guilt clouds your vision with sorrow and anger. There comes a time to get rid of that which cannot help us refill our cups with life. He said, listen. Be concerned. Take some positive action to make things better, even if it means being more mindful, more respectful, but don't feel guilty. Pour out your cup and hold it empty and fill it with something useful, a commitment that is useful. And so what is it that we will put in our cup? It's for each of us to discover. I invite you into a time of prayer and meditation. It is a simple prayer from the words of Anton Treuer, a professor of Ojibwe. Indians have history, but we are not just a piece of history. We are not past tense. We are alive. We are still here. We still have living languages and cultures. We are ancient. And we are modern. We are more than 10,000 years of human history still in the making. I invite you to connect with each other around the room. This is hard news, and we need each other. These words again by Marta Valentin, and just hoping that we hear them with new ears. In gratitude, we celebrate with open hearts and minds. We discover who we are, separate from each other and within one another.
In this circle that holds all life, may we ever work toward widening its boundaries until there are none. Let this gathering say, Amen.
Amen. Amen.